So we are holding, and I am test on the days about 12 lines from the bottom. Line begins literally at this. Six lines from the end of an arrow, like seven lines from the end of an arrow line. All right, so we've discussed that. We've been discussing the whole issue of choshishin lezera ha'av. When you have a mixed breed animal, do we take into consideration that it has a father and it has a mother, and therefore it's considered part one and part the other? Or, the original thing we brought it up was in connection with Oitzav Esbenoi, does the child have a relationship lahalacha with the father, such that if you shech the father, you can't shech the child on the same day and vice versa? Or does it apply only to the mother, and the baby, that was Kananya's? Because the expression choshishin, like we're concerned about, like do we have to be concerned? We know biologically, of course, that this baby animal had a mother and a father. The question is, do we take that into consideration as far as halacha, or do we say that the child strictly follows the species of the mother? Usually you wouldn't. Usually it's true. You have a whole herd of animals, you don't necessarily know. But if you have a particular way of knowing, let's say nowadays it might be through DNA testing. In the old days it might be because you only had one male around. Let's say whatever the case is. If you know, then according to Hananya you would have an issue of Oitzav Esbenoi, and according to the Chachamim you wouldn't. So that led us into a discussion of some related topics. Including, for example, whether it affects the question of Oitzav Esbenoi on another dimension also, because aside from the question of whether it applies to the father and the baby animal, there's also the question if the father animal is of a species which Oitzav Esbenoi doesn't apply to, namely a wild animal, then Oitzav Esbenoi may or may not apply. Or actually, no. If the mother is from a species that it applies to, namely a domestic animal, then for sure it applies. The question we said was if the mother is a wild animal, a deer or gazelle or antelope or what have you, and the baby is a goat, then for sure Okay, so we were saying again that we ended up saying that a case where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim would argue would be where you have a male goat and a female deer or antelope or what have you, and then you have the next generation where we would say Seva, people mix up Seva, that because the baby is partially Seva, because it's partially sheep or goat, because the second generation is, then Oitzav Esbenoi would apply, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say that not Ein Choshen Lezera Ha'av, and we don't care about Sev after the Mitzvah Seh. So that was one. We also talked about the relevance of this as far as the dinim of Shechting Koi, which is a mixed breed like this, and covering its blood on Yom Tov, where we say you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov because then you have a question whether you should be doing Kisei Adam, and you shouldn't be doing that on Yom Tov because of the suffix, and you don't want people to eat the chalav of it. Well, on Shabbos, you can't shecht anyway. It's a moot point. It's talking about on Yom Tov when you allow... No, obviously, but you can't shecht on Shabbos anyway, so it's a moot point. On Yom Tov, where you can shecht, it's relevant to say that ordinarily, a domestic animal you can shecht, no problem. A wild animal or a bird you can shecht, provided that you have loose dirt or ashes or something available to do Kisei Adam with. Here, when it comes to a koi, the Mishnah says you shouldn't shecht it to begin with, and if you do, you shouldn't do Kisei Adam because... On the one hand, it's a suffix. You can't be doing it on Yom Tov because of a suffix. And on the other hand, we don't want you to be doing it because people are going to think then that this animal is definitely a chaya, and then they're going to end up eating a chayim. So we discussed the relevance of that to Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim's Machlokes as well. Okay, so the last thing we said in the Gemara was the Chachamim actually are not sure whether Choshishin Lezera had. That is why they're saying that you shouldn't be covering the koi's blood on Yom Tov because of this suffix. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, apparently, so far, where we're up to, is Rabbi Eliezer apparently knows for a fact that in Choshishin Lezera Ha'av, that we don't care about the father, the mother's species determines the baby's species, therefore Koi wouldn't be an issue because either it's a Chaya or it's a Behema, as the case may be, depending who the mother was, and therefore either you can shech this.
Species is always a female species.
That's what we say, according to if we say in Choshishin Lezera Ha'av, right. Okay. So now, Vahod Tanya, now what about, here's another case, we learn in a Braisa, Hazroya of Al-Chayayim Va'akeva, this mitzvah that the Torah tells us, which we're going to learn about later on in our Masechta, in the 10th Perek. We're going to talk about that you have a mitzvah to give the zroya l'chayayim b'keva of a cholin animal to a kohen, and it only applies to domestic animals. So the mission is the Braisa says noigim b'koi over kalayim. It applies to a koi, which is so far we're saying that a koi is a mixed breed between a goat and a deer, or a goat and an antelope, whatever. So a koi would be chayiv, and you'd be chayiv to take zroya l'chayayim b'keva from a koi and give it to the kohen, or b'kalayim, or any other cross breed like that, like between sheep and goats. Rabbi Eliezer, oh, Kilayim, Abom, and Ezem, and Arachel, Chayiv, and Matonis. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it depends. When it comes to Kilayim between sheep and goats, where both sheep and goats, Yuchayiv, and Zroel, Chayayim, the Keva, then sure, it's Chayiv. But Minakoi, Potim, and Matonis. But when it comes to a Koi, Rabbi Eliezer says, because it's half deer, therefore you'd be Potim, and Matonis.
Half deer, half goat.
I said half deer, and then I corrected myself to half tree, because it really depends what a tree is, as we were discussing before, whether it's a goat or an antelope or a mountain goat or what have you. Okay, anyway, the point is, again, the Maya Sinan, what is the scenario that we're talking about over here with this koi? Who is the father, who is the mother? Elaim of the Kaya Shabala Sviya, is it that the father is a goat and the mother is a deer, the Yolda, and then she gave birth? Well then, Bishlema Rav Eliezer, then we can understand Rav Eliezer's opinion very well. De Potter, why did he say it's Potter? Kasavar, because he says, as we said before, Sev Afilo Mitzah Sel Ayam Rinan. There also, you have the Potter, that the Potter also mentions over there, Shur and Se. V'zeh Yia Mishpat HaKoinim, Meis Zoycha HaZevach, Im Shur, Im Se. So therefore, it mentions, so Rav Eliezer will say, like he was saying so far in the Gemara, that when it says Se, it means it has to be a full-blooded Se. There's no mixa se. But fine, se is a generic term which includes sheep and goats. That's why he says that a hybrid of a sheep and a goat would be chayev, because from either side, whether you look from the mother's side, whether you look from the father's side, it is a se. When it comes to the goat and antelope, the tzvi and tayish hybrid, then fine. Rabbi Eliezer would say the mother is a tzivya, the mother is a deer. Therefore, the baby is potter. The baby is mixa seh. He doesn't hold that mixa seh is included. He would say that to be 100% seh.
So he has two different sets of rules.
No. He's always saying that we don't care about zera ha'av, and we don't care about zera ha'av, and we don't say seh after the mixa seh. That seh means it has to be a full-blooded seh. So if it's
from both sides,
well, in other words, what it is we ignore the father in this case. We focus only on the mother. So in other words, we focus on the mother. The mother is a tzivya. The baby has in it some seh. Doesn't matter. We go strictly according to the mother. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer would hold.
Chief point. He's always saying we go only by the mother.
Yeah.
Whether it's a chaya or a behema.
Yeah. That's the point. So therefore.
So what are we talking
so
about?
So therefore, that's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we understand why a koi is potter from Matame. It is potter from Zeroy L'chayayim B'keva. Because as far as he's concerned, there's no say over here. You don't say that
when
the word
mother
say,
is.
When the mother is a sibia, when the mother is a deer. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're going to get to it in a second. Wait, so mother is a goat, then we're going to get to that in a minute. Elo L'Rabbanan, but let's figure out according to the Rabbanan. Now, the Rabbanan, we said before, do hold that the word seh in the pasuk implies that it could even be mixa seh. As long as it's part seh, then that's enough to make it chayav. Well, they said that as far as Kisi Adam before, and we said as far as Oisiv Esbenoi, now we're talking about as far as Matonis. So the same idea then. Therefore, now with Matonis, it's a little bit different than the other ones, because with Oisiv Esbenoi and with Kisi Adam, there's no half. Matonis is a shorthand term for those. They have to give them as gifts to a kohen from a shechted animal. So for short, instead of using the mouthful, Zroy L'chayayim B'keva, many times the Gemara calls them Matonis for short. When it comes to Oisiv Esbenoi and when it comes to Kisi Adam, there's no splitting the difference. You can't say, well, this animal is half set, therefore only half of Oisiv Esbenoi applies, or therefore only half of Kisi Adam applies. It's an all or nothing thing. But when it comes to Matonis, you have a difference. When it comes to Matonis, you can talk about half and half. Because, in other words, exactly that. Later on, when we learn the Perek about Matonis, and we learn Perek Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva, we're going to talk about over there that there are cases where you only have to give the kohen half of the matonis, half of the zroya, half of the chayay, and half of the kevah.
What about the other cases when you have to give them?
That's fine. You have cases where you have to give the whole thing, obviously. You have cases where you have to give the whole thing. You have cases where you don't give any. We're not talking about that. The point is that we are going to see later on in that parak, we are going to see later on in the 10th parak when we get to it, as Hashem, that there are cases where you give the kohen only half the matonis. So now over here also, so let's see. The shlem of Palgala Yahivle, but so like this. Granted then, so we should figure like this. Definitely half of it you're not giving to the Kohen, because obviously the part that comes from the Tzvi, you're not obligated in. You're not obligated in Matones from wild animals, only from domestic ones. So there's no question you're not giving him half of it. But why are you giving him anything at all? Why is the Braisa saying that you're chayev in Matones, even half of the Matones? So half of it you definitely for sure shouldn't have to give, because half of it comes from the female tree. The other half, idach palga, le malay, why can't the person, the Yisrael who shechted the animal, tell the kohen, I see raya de choshen lezera av, bring a proof that the halacha would be choshen lezera av, ushkoil, and then fine, you're entitled to half of it because the father of this baby animal was a goat. In other words, if we're saying the Chachamim have a suffix, which we established before in the Gemara, the Chachamim have a suffix, whether Choshen Zera Av or not. Well, that suffix, basically, I'm Moitzim Chaver Olavaraya. You, Kohen, want to say that you're entitled to Matanah, so half of them at least, prove that the Halacha should be that Choshen Zera Av. If not, why is the Yisrael obligated to give anything? So that can't be the case. Ela B'tzvi HaBala Tiyosha V'yola. So it must be the other way around, that the male parent of this animal was a deer and the female was a goat. So now, let's see. So now, let's see. Now, reinterpreting the braisa. So the Chachamim, the female is domesticated. So now, the Rabbanon, then we understand very well. When the Rabbanon say that it's chayev and matonis, they mean, my chayev b'chatsi matonis. They don't mean you chayev the entire zroya, the entire chayayim, the entire kevah. They mean half of each. They mean half of each, right? Because representing the mother's contribution to the baby. Because, again, half of it you definitely have to give. The other half, maybe you have to give, maybe not. It's a prophet, come with mechaber l'varaya. Fine. But according to Rabbi Yezer, Ein Choshesh and Lozera Ha'av, as far as he's concerned, ignore the deer over here. It's all goat, as far as we're concerned. Right. So therefore, so why would Rabbi Yezer be saying that a Kohen is closer from Matonis?
Right. He should say, please talk.
Yeah. Or, you know, well, actually, he should say the whole thing, because according to him, definitely Ein Choshesh and Lozera Ha'av, that's what we said so far.
That's for
Rabbi Eliezer. We're talking about Rabbi Eliezer.
No,
right?
Rabbi Eliezer. But we said that. Did we say that
from Akanas? We said it in connection with Oseves Benoy, in connection with Kisi Adam. So far, we have no reason. So far, we have no reason to think it would be different by Matanas.
Okay.
Well, the answer is La'olam Tzvi Habala Tiyosha V'Yalda. You're right. It is the second case. The male is a deer. The female is a goat. And then it gave birth. All this time we were assuming that Rabbi Eliezer knows for a fact that in Choshen Zara'av. Now we're saying, no, actually he has a suffix in it all. So the question is because that would be the only reason why he would say, therefore, that so now we have to figure out, we're going to talk about in a second what the actual dinim are, but the point is we can say based on this, apparently Rabbi Eliezer does not know for sure that in Choshen Zara'av, otherwise he'd have to give the whole thing. Evidently he also has a suffix. Now, so therefore, one second. So first of all, before we get to that, one second. Well, then think about it. If the Chachamim have a suffix, if Choshen Zara'av or not, and Rabbi Eliezer has the same suffix, then my pligi, yeah, what exactly are they arguing about? The whole three cases, exactly. The answer is the only thing they're arguing about is the Sev Asilu Mitzaseh. They're not arguing about Choshen Zara'av or not. Both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim have a suffix on that point. What they're arguing is when you have an animal which is only part Seh, Do the dinim that the Torah says apply to a seh, apply to it? Rabbanan sadri seh v'afilu mitzvah seh. The Chachamim hold that it does, and therefore a hybrid like that. So therefore, in other words, so therefore, it wouldn't really matter. In a sense, then so far, it wouldn't really matter. Well, we're going to see in a second.
What
we're going
to say for the
Rabbanan. Sem means a sheep or a goat. The Chachamim are saying, as long as it's mixed seh, as long as there is some seh in it, then it has the various dishes.
Even grandparents?
No. Well, sort of. That's the case we had before. That's the case we had yesterday. We had three generations,
right.
a Tzvi and a Tzyosha, and then we didn't rule that out. No. We said that was a case over there. We said there'd be Tayish, Abal of Tziviv, Yolda Bas, or Bas Yolda Ben that we mentioned over there. In connection with that Machloikas, actually with that with three generations before, the Gemara had said that there were two points of Machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. One, whether Choshesh and Lazara Av or not, and two, whether Sev after the Mitzvah. Now we're saying the first point is not a point of argument between them. They both agree that we don't know if Choshesh and Lazara Av or not. We have a suffix on that. The Machloikas is whether we say Sev after the Mitzvah. Rabbanan Savi Sev after the Mitzvah. The Chachamim hold that Sev means even an animal that is part Sev, which we're going to explain in a second. Rapapa is going to explain, he's going to teach out for us exactly what the practical outcome of that is. Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Sevel, and Mitzvah Sev, whether Rabbi Eliezer holds that not. Granted, we have a suffix whether Choshesh and Lazara Av, but he says, on the other hand, when it comes to something that where the Torah tells us that something has to be a Sev, then it has to be complete Sev. It means that it's born
to
a Seh mother who herself is considered a Seh Lahalaka. So wait, Amar Apapa Hilka. One second. Let's learn the next five lines and then you may have your questions answered. If not, then go ahead. Amar Apapa Lahilka. So here's the bottom line. L'inyan Kisui Hadam Umatones, when it comes to Kisui Hadam, where the Mishnah had mentioned about shechting a koi on Yom Tov and covering its blood, that we said ein shechtin, which implies that you're not supposed to shecht it, and if you did, then you don't cover the blood, because we're saying it's a suffix whether you can cover the blood or not. U'matonos, and when it comes to matonos, where we find that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are disagreeing. The only cases where you can have, the only scenarios where you would have those dinim would be when you have the male was tzvi and the female was a goat. When it comes to kisi adam and when it comes to matonis, the difference between Kisi Adam and Matanis is the only factor is whether Sev Asilu Mitzvah Sev. There's not an issue of the issue of Choshesh and Lazara Ha'av is a bit of a side thing. So therefore what it comes out is like this. When it comes to Kisi Adam and Matanis, Loi Mashkachas, the only way that you can find the scenario where you will have the dinim that we said about them, only when you have a male tzvi, a male deer, and a female goat, now, both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer, we said, don't know whether Choshesh and Lazara Av or not. If we say Choshesh and Lazara Av, it means that this animal is considered part deer and part goat. If not, if ain't Choshesh and Lazara Av, then it's considered all goat. The machloikas between them in those two cases is about this question of sev afilu mitzvah seh. So in other words, like this, when it comes to the case of kisi adam, where the animal needs to be a wild animal in order to be chayav in kisi adam, so here what we're saying is that Rabbanan, not Rabbi Eliezer, are the ones who are saying that you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov because maybe Choshesh and Lazara Ha'av and it is part tzvi. On the other hand, it should be chayav in kisi adam because again it is part tzvi. So on the one hand, you can argue it's chayev and kisi adam. On the other hand, you can argue it's potter from kisi adam. So therefore, you shouldn't be shechted on yom tov in order not to get into that stuff. But if you did, then you don't cover the blood in order that people don't misunderstand and think that it really is a chayev. So that's in that case. But Rashi also adds that, according to the Rabbanan, you couldn't say it's the other way around, that the female parent is a deer, because then Either way you look at it, whether you say choshen l'zera av or not, you definitely have mikvah tzvi over here, because either the animal is half deer or it's all deer, and either way, it's going to be chayiv and kisvi adam, because they hold seh v'akil mikvah seh, which means also tzvi v'akil mikvah tzvi. So for them, for sure, if the female parent is a tzvi, there's no question that you do kisvi adam, and therefore you can shecht it on yom tov just as much as any other chayiv. For Rabbi Yezer, it could work either way, because according to him, since you don't say seva to the mitzvah seh, or tzviva to the mitzvah tzvi, and since he has a suffix, whether choshen was ra'av, so either way, whether it's a female deer that gave birth to this animal, or whether it's a female goat that gave birth, either way, Rabbi Yezer would have the same suffix. But if we to make the Mishnah work like a Chachamim, which we would prefer to do, we would rather say that the Mishnah goes like a Chachamim, necessarily we have to be talking about where the female parent is a deer. That's as far as kisvi adam. Now, as far as...
Let me ask this question. How can you say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I understand the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, how can you say it's a stay, and then still there's a suffix?
He's saying there's a suffix whether Choshen was Zara Av or not. But he's saying, one second, listen. That's the thing. He's saying we don't know if Choshen was Zara Av or not. However, when it comes to a halacha, that depends on it being a stay, then... It has to be all set in order for the din to apply to it. So in the case of a here, Kisvi Adam, for example, so Rabbi Eliezer would say that either way, whichever parent is the deer, whichever parent is the goat, either way, we would say like this: if definitely ain choshen zera'av, then when it's born to a deer, then it would be a deer, and when it's born to a goat, it would be a goat, and only in the first case would it be chayv and Kisvi Adam. Because we have the suffix, whether the female is a deer or whether the female is a goat.
Right.
If it's a deer, it would be chayv, definitely chayv and kisvi adam. If it's a goat, definitely not. And then, therefore, you could check that on Yom Tov, and either way, you either would or wouldn't cover the blood, as the case may be.
Right.
But because choshen was ra'av, you have the extra wrinkle, whether you do consider the av there or not, and therefore, that leads us to a suffix. Therefore, in these two cases, do we consider choshen l'zera'av, then we have. It's not a full set. It's a half set and half not.
That's what my question is. Previously, Rabbi Yosef said that it goes according to the mother.
Definitely. Now we're saying it's a suffix. Now we're saying that he has a suffix. That's the thing.
About
you want to change about choshen l'zera'av. Do we go only by the mother or do we also go by the father?
No.
However, he still does hold that even if you say you go according to both, that you go with that choshen l'zera'av, he will say, nevertheless, though, it's not considered a seh unless it's a full-blooded seh from both sides. If you say in choshen l'zera'av, then there's nothing to talk about. Then it only goes according to the mother, and then that's enough for it to be considered a full seh.
If you say that there's a suffix
about choshen l'zera'av, then in order for it to be considered a seh and have the various dinim that apply to a seh, it would have to be full seh, not half seh, half three. Right, that's what we're saying.
Okay, so then there's a suffix, therefore it has to be both.
When it comes to kisvi adam, because therefore, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say either way you have a suffix. Well, we're saying kisvi adam and also matamis. Let's learn through the Gemara and learn the Rashi, and then let's take questions. Hold on. Okay. What we're saying so far is like this. Now that we understand that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim both have a suffix about choshen l'zera'av or not, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer knows for a fact that seh means not mikvah seh, it has to be a full-blooded seh. The Chachamim are saying seh means even mikvah seh. One time. Then the result of it is follows. The Inyan kisvi adam umatonis. So when it comes to kisvi adam, we were saying that the Mishnah is telling us that you cannot shecht it on Yom Tov, and if you do, you shouldn't do kisvi adam. In other words, that there's a suffix whether to do kisvi adam. According to the Chachamim, that can only work. Elabit tzvi habala tiyosha. That can only work when the male was a tzvi and the female was a goat. Now both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer have a suffix whether choshen l'zera'av or not. The machlokes between them is only on the definition: what is a seh or what is a tzvi? Is it something that's all seh or all tzvi or not? So therefore, again, when it comes to, let's first talk about kisvi adam, then we'll get back to matanos. When it comes to kisvi adam, the Chachamim will say, if the female parent, if the female parent was a was a deer, then there's no question, because then that according to the Chachamim, then there's no question you have to do Kisi Adam, because either Ein Choshen L'Zera Av, and therefore it's 100% deer, or Choshen L'Zera Av, and it's 50% deer. Fine, either 100 or 50% deer. Either way, Tzvi Vatul Mitzvah Tzvi, so it'll be Chayev and Kisi Adam. So that would not be the case with a Chachamim saying you can't shecht it on Yom Tov. Rebbe Eliezer.
One second, before we go to Rebbe Eliezer, the other way around.
That's the thing. That's why we're saying the only way that the Chachamim could say that there's a suffix, whether you have to do Kisi Adam for a koi, would only be the other way around. Only if the female parent is a goat. So now either this animal is 100% goat, or it's 50% goat and 50% deer. The only time you'd need to do the only way you'd need to do Kisi Adam is if we consider it 50% deer, because Sev Afilu Mixas Sev.
Sentence means
Sev Afilu Mixas Sev. The point is that the Chacham doesn't matter. The Chachamim are going to say that once you say Sev Afilu Mixas Sev, if we say Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av, then it means this animal is 50% deer and 50% goat. And fine, being 50% deer, Sev Afilu Mixas Sev, then it needs Kisi Adam. On the other hand, we might consider it 100% goat. We might not consider the father at all. Then it wouldn't need Kisi Adam. That's the question. Because we might say Ein Choshen L'Zera Av. We might say, that's the point. That's the point. If we say Choshen L'Zera Av, then it's 50-50. And then it would need Kisi Adam on the grounds of the 50. If we say Ein Choshen L'Zera Av, then it doesn't need Kisi, then it's, no, that's not goat. It's only goat. It's only goat, because Ein Choshen L'Zera Av, and its mother was a goat. So then, and a goat doesn't need Kisi Adam. That is why the Chachamim are saying that you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov, because then you're going to have the problem of Kisi Adam. So that's as far as that. As far as Matanis, same idea. As far as Matanis, same idea. We're talking about there, the father is a deer, the mother is a goat. So Rebbe Eliezer is saying like this. Rebbe Eliezer is saying that again, either we say Ein Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, and therefore this animal is 100% goat, or we say that Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, and therefore it's half deer and half goat. But he would hold. You don't say half deer, half goat. You say Seh means it has to be a full-blooded Seh. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it's Potter from Matanis. You want the Matanis. Hamotzi Mechaber L'Avraya. Bring proof that definitely Ein Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, and therefore that we would consider it all Seh because its mother is a Seh, and therefore you're entitled.
Both have a suffix now.
No, that's fine. But Rebbe Eliezer would say that, again, this baby that was born to a female goat where the father was a deer, Rebbe Eliezer is going to say the two possibilities are either Ein Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, therefore it's considered 100% goat. If we consider it 100% goat, then it's Chayev and Matanis. On the other hand, if Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, then it's half deer, half goat. Half deer, half goat, according to Rebbe Eliezer, is not Chayev and Matanis, because it's not mixed up, it's not Seth. Therefore, the two possibilities are either it's a goat or it's mixed up set. If Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, then it's mixed up set. But mixed up set, according to Rebbe Eliezer, is not Chayev and Matanis. That's the point. So therefore, that's the point. He doesn't hold a mixed up. In other words, he holds mixed up set is not Chayev and Matanis.
There's no such thing for him as
a goat. No, of course there is, because if Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, then this animal is half goat, half deer. But according to him, only an animal that is considered lahalacha 100% goat is Chayev and Matanis. Fine. Okay, so that's the point. In other words, if you say Ein Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, then biologically it may be half deer, but lahalacha we consider it 100% goat. Therefore, it would be Chayev and Matanis. On the other hand, if we say Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, then it's 50-50, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, 50-50 is Potter. So therefore, Hamoitz Mechaber L'Avraya. Whereas the Chachamim are going to take the view that it doesn't matter. If you consider it 100% goat l'halacha, because Ein Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, for sure it's Chayev and Matanis. If you say that Choshen L'Zera Ha'av, it's 50-50, then you owe half of the Matanis, the half that came from the goat. So either way, you have to give the Kohen half of the Matanis. The other half, fine, you can argue with him whether I'm right to Mechaber L'Avraya. So So that would be the point. In those two cases, we have to, as far as Kisi Adam and as far as Matonis, it has to be that the female parent was a goat. Because again, when it comes to Matonis, if you were going to say it the other way around, the female parent is a deer, then again, you would have according to the Chachamim, you wouldn't have to be giving anything either. Because either it's 100% deer or it's 50% deer. As 100% deer, it would be closer. As 50% deer, you'd be five and a half. Unless Mechabal Arayah, so you wouldn't be giving anything. Unless the Kohen brings the proof, so obviously. Right. Okay. So that's as far as those two. On the other hand, when it comes to the din of Oysev Es B'noi, Mashkachas lo ben betayish habal atzivya, or ben betzvi habal atyosha, then you can have, the scenario can be either one. You can have either the male or the female parent can be a goat, either the male or the female parent can be a deer. It would work, the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim would work in both cases. Like this, betayish habal atzivya ule isura. You could have the case where it's a male goat and a female deer, and what the Chachamim would be saying, it's also to shecht it because you have a suffix, because maybe choshishim lezera ha'ab. So, we're talking about the same scenario that we mentioned before on Ayin Tes Amud Beis involving the three generations. That you have, we said over there, you have the first generation was a male goat, and a female deer. The second generation, therefore, is born from that as an animal that is half deer, half goat. And then later on it has a baby. And the question is, what happens when you shech it and its baby? So the Rabbanan are going to say, therefore, you have a suffix whether that mother is considered a ser or not.
The mother and the grandchild?
The mother and the grandchild. The Rabbanan hold of Mikta Seth. On the other hand, maybe Ein Choshin L'Zera'av. And therefore this mother is not considered a goat. Maybe it's not considered to be any part goat at all. Maybe it's considered to be all deer. And there's no Isser of Oysev Es B'noi with a deer and its baby. So therefore, the Chachamim would be saying that there's an Isser, not a Chiyuv Malkus, just an Isser because of the suffix. Namely, the Rabbanan Sabri, Dilma Choshin L'Zera'av, because the Chachamim say maybe Choshin L'Zera'av, maybe that middle generation is considered a goat, because its father was a goat. And Sev Asulam Mikhtaseh, and since the Chachamim hold, we do hold of Sev Asulam Mikhtaseh, therefore it can be Osir. So Malkus there can't be, Rashi says, because it would be Hasra's suffix. They can't give him definite Hasra on it because it's a suffix. Mind you, by the way, Rishonim and Achronim talk about what do you mean Hasra's suffix. Hasra's suffix is when you know he's doing something wrong, you just don't know whether it's a Chiyuv Malkus or not. Here it might even be Mutter to begin with. So why is Rashi calling it Hasra's suffix? There's a lot of discussion about that. But anyway, the point is, so that Rabbanan would say it's also on those grounds. But Rabbi Eliezer saw it on the grounds that it's a suffix, because you don't know if Choshin Lezera'av, and therefore you don't know if that middle generation is considered a goat or is considered all deer, or if it's considered half deer, half goat. And if it's considered half deer, half goat, then the din of Oysev Es B'noi would apply to it. If we said Ein Choshin Lezera'av, then it's 100% deer, and therefore Oysev Es B'noi doesn't apply. So the Chachamim will say it's also to do on the grounds of that suffix,
but not punishable.
Rabbi Eliezer would say, even if you Choshish Lezera'av, even if you say that this middle generation is half deer, half goat, nevertheless, Sev after the Mikta Sev Loyam Minan, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say we don't hold a seva for the mitzvah, and therefore, as far as we're concerned, the animal is 100%, not 100%, it is 50% goat and 50% deer, but to be chayev and oisev es b'noi, it would have to be considered la halacha 100% goat, and it's not, because if choshen l'zera'av, then it's only 50-50, and if in choshen l'zera'av, then it's 100% deer, because then you ignore the father altogether. So either way, Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore it's mutter.
So,
forget Kisi Adam. We're not talking about that. We're focusing on Oysev Es B'noi. Right. So Kisi Adam, that's what we said before. That Kisi Adam, we would have to say we're talking about Tzvi Aval of Yosha, right? So that's one way of understanding the scenario, is we could be talking about where the female parent was a deer. So therefore, again, the Chachamim are saying that the suffix, you can't get Malkus, but nevertheless, it would be also on the grounds of the suffix, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's completely mutter, because either it's 100% deer or it's 50% goat and 50% deer, and you're not chayav for 50% goat. You're only chayav for 100% goat. So either way, then, it's definitely not that. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say it's no problem. Or the other way around. Or the tzvi habala tiyasha. Or we could also say the scenario is the other way around, a male deer and a female goat, or a malchus. And then the question would be that the chachamim would be saying that the machloikus between the chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, if we take that scenario, would be not is it allowed. It would definitely not be allowed in either case, but the question would be, where do you get malchus? Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon would say like this. Again, let's work through the possibilities. Either the second generation over there, which was born to the female goat, either ein choshen lezera'av, therefore it's 100% goat, or choshen lezera'av, therefore it's 50% goat. Either way, sev after the mitzvah se'amrin, and we do say the word se' includes mitzvah se', so it also covers the case where it's 50% goat, therefore umalkinim, therefore we're going to give him malchus, because one way or the other, either it's 100% goat or 50% goat, and either way, that's considered se' according to the chachamim. But Rabbi Eliezer Sava Isura Ika Malchus Leika. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer will hold, it's only Osir, but there's no Malchus. Because again, Hasra stop it. Isura Ika Dilma in Choshen Lazara Avahai Sem Aliyahu. Maybe there is an Isur, because what if in Choshen Lazara Av, since this animal was born to a female goat, maybe we consider it to be 100% goat. 100% goat, or Isur Vesna, it applies. And then it would be considered 100% goat. Malchus lekka, but there wouldn't be malchus. Dilma choshen lezera'av, because maybe choshen lezera'av, in that case, 50% goat, and the sev after the mitzvah sev layamrinan. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, you don't hold the 50% goat. The dinim don't apply to it. Therefore, that would be why he's saying in the original braisa that we quoted, that he said that oisav esbinoi is not noihig in a koi, according to the second possibility, the scenario where the male is the tzvi and the female is the goat. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't be saying you're allowed to shech the mother together with the baby. He'd just be saying if you do, you don't get malchus
because
it's up. And in the previous scenario where it's a male goat and a female deer, then the machlokus would be the chum would say it's also because of the suffix, and Rabbi Eliezer would be saying it's mutter. So that case of oisav esbinoi should work with either scenario. The other two, kisi adam and machlokus, can only work, at least according to the chachamim, with the scenario where the male is a deer and the female is a goat.
Male is a deer and female is a goat, right?
As we touched that again.
When you say work.
Well, in other words, we said that if the scenario is the other way around, if you have a male goat and a female deer, then the chachamim wouldn't have a suffix whether you need to cover its blood on Yom Tov.
I think kisur adam,
right? Right, as far as machlokes. The only way that we have where the chachamim would say to stop it whether you do kisi adam and where half the matonis you have to be giving would be a male deer and a female goat, right? Okay, fine. Okay, more on the halachos of the chachamim, right? Okay, sure. More on the topic of the koi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Koi beri b'fnei asmehi. Now, all this time we've been discussing the idea that a koi is a hybrid between a deer or whatever kind of creature a tzvi is and a goat. Now we're going to talk about a different opinion that koi fine. The point is that still biologically it's half one half. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a koi beri b'fnei asmehi. The koi is not a hybrid. It's actually a separate species. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that. And the reason is, actually, now, this is a separate topic than the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rashi explains like this. You have a machlokes in Bava Kamma. It also comes up in Bechoros. Can a domestic and a wild animal interbreed and produce babies? Can they? You have an opinion in the Gemara. That's the question. You have an opinion in the Gemara that they cannot. Rabbi Yehuda, in our Gemara over here, Rabbi Yehuda the Amora, that is, holds like that opinion, that they cannot. Therefore, there's no way that a koi could be a hybrid of a domestic animal, which is a goat, and a wild animal. According to him, therefore, a koi has to be a separate species. Yeah. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, who disagree with him, both hold that a chaya and a behemoth can interbreed and produce offspring. Therefore, according to them, a koi can be a hybrid, like we were discussing. So Rav Yehuda is saying that a kori is a separate species. It's just a chachamim couldn't decide about it whether it was considered a behemoth or a chaya, because it has kind of characteristics of both. Tosfos actually points out, we learned it. Well, for example, actually, there's an interesting verse from Rav Pinchas Chorus there. He says something along the lines of that two characteristics of a behemoth are, number one, spend time around people, domesticated, and number two, they tend to come in different colors. Because I guess as people breed them, they tend to breed in different patterns or whatever. One time. Fine. Again, you have different opinions. But no, the point is, this creature, the koi, on the one hand, it does not hang around people, so that would make it more of a chaya. On the other hand, on the one hand, it does hang around people, so that would tend to make it considered a behemoth. On the other hand, it all comes in one color, implying that it's a chaya. A verse from Pinchas Chorus there, he says. So, because in other words, the point is that domesticated animals tend to come in different colors, different coat patterns or whatever as people breed them. Okay, so the point is, so that could be one reason. Tosfos also points out, you know, in Perek Eilat Shreifos, we talked about that you have the simonim of the horns of animals, that you have certain simonim, kruches, chaduras, hadukas, whatever, all the details we had over there about the horns of chayas versus behemoths. But Tosfos points out that apparently what it is that it's one of those things. It's like a corner case. So it looks a little bit like one and a little bit like the other, and therefore it's hard to tell which category it belongs in. Anyway, so that's what's said. That's a separate thing, and we don't know if it's a behemoth or a chayah. By the way, it talks about chassidus and an interesting idea that in general, whenever we find two categories of things, we always find something that's sort of in between that has characteristics of both. Various examples are given a bit in chassidus. Well, for example, so you have let's say I don't remember the specific examples it gives in chassidus. But for example, I think one example that it gives is between behema and chaya, between chayas and human beings. For example, you have monkeys, which are somewhat human-like, or apes, whatever, that are somewhat human-like in characteristics, but still they're wild animals. Between Domim and Semeach, let's say, for example, you have creatures that look like rocks. Between Domim and Semeach, let's say, for example, you have coral. Between Semeach and Chai, you have creatures that between Domim and Semeach, let's say, between inanimate and animate, you have things like coral. It's sort of like halfway in between. Or whatever. I mean, on the one hand, it's living creatures. On the other hand, it makes a skeleton-like things under a sea, inorganic. Whatever. The point is that therefore, but here also, if you have the categories of chaya and behemoth, then there must be something that's in between. Okay. Anyway. Fine. Rav Nachman says no. I'll tell you what the koi is. Koi is the ayol habar, or ayol habar, or whatever. The koi is the wild ayol. Now you actually have, by the way, two words. You have ayol, which means ayil, which means a ram, which is the male adult sheep, and then you have ayol, which is a gazelle or a deer or some wild animal like that. So in fact, ayil and ayol. So over here, ayol is a chaya, ayil is a behemoth. So over here, we're saying that this is ayol habar. It's the wild ayol. So it could either be ayol like as in a ram or ayol as in a deer or a gazelle. So that's what Nachman's saying. That's the definition of the koi. Okay. So the Gemara says ketanoi. This is actually like a machlok ketanoi. Koi is the ayol habar. One kind of says that a koi is this wild ayol. But yes, I mean, it's abom and a tayishim and a sivya. Another opinion is, like we were discussing over the Yazir and the Chachamim, that's a hybrid of a goat and a deer. Rav Yossi, and the koi bury the family. And then Rav Yossi says that the koi is a creature of its own species. It's not this ayol habor, which might not necessarily be. Actually, Tosfos points out the ayol habor. If we say that it's an ayol habor, then it means it's definitely a wild animal, because the fact that we're calling it habor implies that it's a wild animal. On the other hand, then you have because that's habor means wild, so then it's a wild animal. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, koi buries now. I mean, he wears Rabbi Yossi is saying that the koi is an independent species. The Chachamim couldn't figure out whether it's a type of chaya or a type of behemoth. But we have so far three opinions. You have the one opinion that it's an Iola burro, which would make it definitely a wild animal. A second is that it's a hybrid. A third of Yoiti is that that we're not sure if it's a high, it's an independent species, but we don't know if it's a high or a behema. And now a fourth opinion of Shimon Gamliel, I mean, min behema. Here, Shimon Gamliel says it's definitely a type of behema. And in fact, the Shobes Dushoi In fact, the household of Dushoi, the name of the family, used to grow herds and herds of them, implying that it's a behemoth, because you can't grow herds of wild animals. There are four different opinions. Is it a chaya? Is it a behemoth? Is it we're not sure? Or is it a hybrid? Okay. What it is according to the different opinions, you have one thing that shines out for brings one possibility that the Iola burro might be a creature that in English is called a mufla. It's basically a wild sheep. It's basically a wild sheep. They consider it to be the ancestor of domestic sheep.
Okay.
Amar of Zera, Amar of Safra, Amar of Hamnuna. Speaking of domestic versus wild animals, Hani Izi de Bola. These wild goats, bola means bola, bola is similar to bara, it means wild. These wild goats, ksheris legabim is beach. It actually translates bola as a forest. So not wild, per se. Forest goats. These are goats that live in the forest. Ksheris legabim is beach. They would be kosher to be brought as korbanos on the mizbeach because they're not, even though they live in the forest, they're not considered chayas, they're considered behemoth. They're considered behemoth, even though they live in the forest. Now, how does Rav Hamnuna get that? He holds like what Rav Yitzchok says. Esther behemoth mana hakos of the tulai. Rav Yitzchok says in the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, you have only 10 kosher species of animals listed: three domestic and seven wild. And Bahami, now these forest goats, Midaloi Kachosh of Lahu Bahadi Chayas, given that they're not in the list of seven wild kosher animals, Shmami Nada Ezmun. Therefore, necessarily, they must be under the category of goats that are mentioned under the domestic animals. The eye that live in the forest doesn't matter. They're still considered goats, and therefore they're still considered goats. They may even be the ancestors of domesticated goats, whatever it is. The point is that they're considered goats as far as halacha, as far as that you can even bring them as korbanos. Okay. Maski for Rav Acha bar Yaakov, however, Rav Acha bar Yaakov asks on that. The Ema, how do you know? Maybe it means maybe there are a lot more than just those kosher animals that are listed in the Sukkim. The Ema, Iola Tzvi Pras, maybe say like this. You have the list of animals over there, the list of seven wild animals, Iola Tzvi, Yachmur, etc. Say that that's a Pras. Kol behema klal. Then the pasuk continues. V'chol behema, that any animal that's mefreshes karusa and that has split hooves and chews its cud is kosher to eat. So you have a pras of klal, not the klal motif ala pras. So it means the klal comes to add to the pras, and therefore ika tuva. And what do we say? Pras of klal means that you're not just limited to the pras. You have a more general klal that includes everything. So therefore, you may have a lot more than seven species of kosher wild animals.
So is the prop.
The Ayol and Svi would be the prop. Kol Behema would be the klal. So that would mean there's not only the seven species that are mentioned over there, Ayol, Svi, Yachmur, etc. There's many others, and one of them could be these forest goats. The answer is in Cain, Kol Hani Prop Yilamot. Fine, but if the prophet only meant to give a cross of plow, it wouldn't have to list out all seven species. It could just list one or two of them, and we would say all the rest are included in the cloud. Since it lists out seven of them specifically, all the seven species. Yeah. That's the point. Therefore, it's not a cross of plow. However, Maskifor of Acha Breder of Ikka, says, okay, granted, let's say you're right then, fine, it's not a proper qual, therefore you only have seven kosher species of wild animals. However, you're taking it as a given because it's not any of these seven, therefore by elimination it must be a type of goat. Why? The Dimomina de Akri Ninu, maybe it's actually a subspecies of the Akri. Now the point is, you have seven animals listed over there. Ayo, Svi, Yachmur, Akri, Disha, and Ch'oi, and Zeller. The first three, the Chachamim knew in their time still what they are. The last four, the Akri and onward, they didn't know exactly what they were. So therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying, is asking that, how do you know? Maybe these forest goats is actually a subspecies of the Akri. and what even that sound like? We don't know what the Akha is, so maybe they could be. Okay, but the point is, the Torah tells us Akha, but what is an Akha? Could it be maybe a forest goat or some related species under which the forest goat would go? You're saying that the given that it's not, but how do you know? You don't know what an Akha is. And similarly, the Amulet of Achabre, the Rovelet of Ashi, the Amulet of Achabre, the Ivulet of Ashi, Dilma Mina de Ta'oya Mina de Zemrininu. For that matter, these forest goats might be part of the subspecies that might be subspecies of the Ta'oy or the Zemr, which is the last two listed in the cluster. So how can you say it's such a definitive thing that they're domestic animals and they can be brought as korbanos?
So there could be three subspecies this
afternoon. No, again. You have Akoi, Dishon, Ta'oy, and Zemr. The pashtus, each one of them has subspecies. So maybe these forest goats are a type of Akoi. Maybe the Gemara didn't ask about Dishon, but maybe they're that. Maybe they're a type of Ta'oy. Maybe they're a type of Zemr. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the point. So how do you're saying that because they're not listed in the pasuk among the chayas, therefore by elimination they must be behemoths. But how do you know? Maybe that's actually when the Torah mentions Akoi, maybe it means these goats. When it mentions Ta'oy, maybe yeah. Okay. So the answer is almost Rav Chanan, Rav Ashi. So Rav Chanan tells Rav Ashi, true, you could argue that, but on the other hand, we find that Amemar Shori Tarbayu, that Amemar, who was the Rebbe of the previous generation, had been master of the fact of these forest goats to eat, which means actually the opposite of what we said. It means they're definitely chayes. No, they're definitely chayes, because only the chayes of chayes is mostly. The chayes of behemoth is also. Tarba is the Aramaic word for fact.
Tarbayu
means they're fact, they're chayes. So therefore, the answer actually would be that no, they actually would be considered a chayah. So not like we started saying that Rav Hamnuna would say they're kosher legabe mizeach, based on what Amemar is saying, actually they would be also to be brought as a korban because they're wild animals. A similar discussion. So, well, that's the stuff according to Amemar. It says it's considered a chayah.
What's
the halacha? It's a good question. I don't know. I guess it would be a suffix. I don't know. Another related case. So he asks again. We're not done yet. So now he's asking the same question. These easy debola, these forest goats, are you allowed to bring them as a korban on a mizeach? Or are they a behemah or a chayah? Bola means a forest, yes. Omale, so Rav Huna bar Chiya answers him. You know what? We find that there's machloikas between Rav Yosi and the Rabbanon about a wild shur, whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. It's not. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Kilayim, shur habor min behemoth. That the Mishnah says over there, the shur habor, which is a wild ox, min behemoth, is considered a min behemoth. Rav Yosi a min chaya. Rav Yosi says that it's considered a type of chaya. So there, why is there a machlokes? Because it depends. It's like this. The Rabbanon sabri. The Rabbanon say like this. Midim etagminon terbola. Since the Aramaic translation of the word ta'oi in the pasuk that lists the kosher animals, we have the next to last one is ta'oi, and the Targum Unkelos translates it as terbola, which is ter is the Aramaic word for sure. Bola we said means forest. Therefore, the Rabbanon holds, since it's called a shur of the forest, so essentially, in other words, it's called a shur, therefore, mina de behemahu, therefore, the chachamim hold that it's considered in that, therefore, it's considered a behemah, because it's called a shur. Fine, it's a shur that lives in the forest, but nevertheless, it is considered a behemah, they would say. Rabbi Yossi says, no, but it's in the list of chayas. If it was a behemah, it should have been in the list of behemahs. It's not, therefore, mina de chayahu. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that it's considered a type of chayah.
How can you say that the fact that it's called the forest is more important than the list?
Because actually, Tosfos points out just before we were saying that an ayil habor is considered a wild animal, even though ayil means a ram, and therefore so you should say the same thing. It's considered no. So that's the thing. So Tosfos actually asks the question why would we say that an ayil habor is considered a chaya, even though it has the name ayil, whereas a shur habor we would say is a behemoth because it's called shur. What's the difference? The one answer that's given is, in fact, like I was saying before, there's a difference between ayil, which means a ram, versus ayol, which means a deer or a gazelle. So it's actually ayol habor,
Okay.
And in that case, then there's no question.
Fine.
The point is, over here, the fact that it's fundamentally called Shur, okay, so it's a feral Shur, let's say. So it's one that's descended from domesticated oxen, which then ran off into the forest and then lived there. But no, that's the point. The Chachamim are still going to say it may be listed among the chayas, but we learned previously that that chaya b'chalal behema and behema b'chalal chaya, to a certain extent the terms are interchangeable. And therefore, the Chachamim can still say that because fundamentally the name Shur or Tur is part of the name, therefore it's considered a behema. Avohani, but when it comes to the forest goats, given that they're not listed among the wild animals, then Rabbi Yossi doesn't have a reason to say that it's chaya. Therefore, divrei hakol mina de'ez minu. Therefore, everybody is going to agree that they're considered a subspecies of goat. And as subspecies of goat, you would be able to bring them as korbanos. But same problem as before. Maski sort of acha breder of ikka, the dumo mina de'akai minu. Rabbi acha breder of ikka asks that maybe after all they are, maybe they were subspecies of akai. And omole ravina le ravashi, the dumo mina de'oya mina de'zemer minu. So the answer again is Amalei Rav Nachman L'Rav Ashi. So again, Rav Nachman, or Hagoyt Abach changes it sort of Chonon, says the L'Rav Ashi, Amemar Shori Tabayu, that you see that Amemar said that you're allowed to eat their fat, which means that he considers that they're Chaya. So therefore, that would be the answer, that this Ezabur, actually, this forest goat, would actually, according to Amemar, be considered a wild animal, whereas according to Rav Hamnuna, and according to Rav Chia, it would be considered a domestic animal. So I guess, but I don't know for sure. In practice, if we know what these forest goats are, it would probably be a suffix because you have the two different opinions over here. There are, by the way, there are opinions that say that the turbola of our Gemara over here is actually a buffalo. So that affects the question. Besides that, it affects the question whether you can eat a tchelev. Fine, so you don't eat a tchelev to be on the safe side. That's the question. Is it considered a chayah or is it considered a behemoth? If we say that the shur habor of our Gemara over here, the turbola of our Gemara, then it might, and you have some Rishonim will learn that way, then it would mean the tchelev of it would be also because it might be a behemoth. And as far as the question of Kisi Adam, actually the Machaber brings in Shulchan Aruch, but the Minhag is when people shech buffaloes, they don't do Kisi Adam because they consider it to be a behemah. However, the Ramah brings that there are those who hold that it's a chaya on the basis that our Gemara left it up in we had Rabbi Yossi versus Chachamim arguing whether it's a chaya or a behemah. Maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it's a chaya. Therefore, you should therefore better to either do Kisi Adam the suffix, or the Ramah says actually what you can do is shecht another wild animal or another bird nearby, and then that way you're doing Kisi Adam definitely with a bracha, and then while you're at it, you can cover the blood of the buffalo as well.
It seems to be very domesticated. They go in enclosures.
Nevertheless, if we say that it's the turbola of our Gemara over here, then nevertheless, to a certain extent, it can be considered a wild animal. Okay. You also have a difference, by the way. I mean, you have animals that are domesticated versus animals that are tamed. You have many, many wild animals that can be tamed, but they're not domesticated. They're not bred in captivity from generation to generation and naturally docile or whatever. So maybe that has to be the same. Okay. All right.
Domestication is the first step towards...
No, taming is the first step. Is the first step towards domestication. Fine, but nevertheless, you still have a lot of creatures that only ever reach the taming stage and never reach lions, for example. They can tame lions, but they never domesticate them. Yeah, they can. For a period of time, you have such things. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay. All right, so now we said in the Mishnah, Kesad Asher Tzibbolo. So after we talked about the basic concept that Oitzeves B'noi applies to the mother animal and the baby, and that led us into this whole discussion, does it also apply to the father, and therefore it brought us into this whole discussion about Choshen L'Zera'av and about the Koi. Now getting back to, the Mishnah had brought us a bunch of cases, we had 12 cases in the Mishnah, where one person or two people shech two different animals, and we had various cases. We had cases where one of them is kosher, and there's no issue involved, and the second one is possible, and the person gets malchus. We have cases where people get kores, we have cases where both of them get malchus, et cetera, et cetera.
So, one by one?
No. Omer of Oshia, kulma smithin delot Rav Shimon. So Rav Oshia says, you should know that our entire Mishnah does not go like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds of a concept, which we're going to learn a little later on, called shchita she'enu re'uya lo shma shchita. Rav Shimon holds that when you have, we mentioned it briefly here and there, but we haven't really gotten into the details of it. Here we're going to have it in our parish, we're going to study. Rav Shimon holds shchita she'enu re'uya ain't lo shma shchita. that if you have a shchita, which is not roi, in the sense it doesn't make the animal mutter to be eaten, then it's not considered a shchita, says Rav Shimon. The original case where Rav Shimon talks about that is, for example, if you have a shur on niskel, you have an animal that gored somebody, which the Torah tells us in Parashat Mishpatim has to be put to death, a shur yisakel. So then we know that after Gmar Din, already the animal is also bahanah, and even if the owner or somebody else shechts it, you still can't eat the meat. So Rav Yossi says, therefore, for the purpose of Oisiv Espino, that's not considered shchita. If you were to shecht the shur on niskel and then shecht its baby or its mother on the same day, no malchus, says Rav Shimon. The Chum would say that it is, because it's considered shchita. Yeah. So, no, you're not. You can eat it. They agree you can't eat it, but they would hold that shchita shein or uya is nevertheless considered shchita. So, according to Rav Shimon, our Mishnah would not work. Mimai, how do we know that? Mitzkatoni, because let's look at some of the cases in our Mishnah. We had a case, Kodshim Bachot. We said that if both animals, the mother and the baby, are Kodshim, and they were both shechted outside the Azara, Harish and Chayav Karis, we said the one who shechts the first one is Chayav Karis, because he shechted Kodshim outside the Azara, who Shneim Sulin. Now, both of them are going to be possible, because both of them were Kodshim that were shechted outside the Azara, so they're both Osebana. And we said in the Mishnah that both of them are going to be getting malchus. The first one for shchut echot, the second one for oisiv espinoi. Now mechti sham inen leiv Rav Shimon de Amar. Now let's consider. We know that Rav Shimon says, as again we're going to have later on in the parak, and yeah, we have had it sporadically here and there, that shchita sheiner uya loy shma shchita, that a shchita that's not makir the animal for consumption is not considered shchita. So therefore, the question is like this. The first one, the fact that you shechted the first one that is outside, that he's chayav karis for it, fine, that's zeret hakasuv. Because even though it's kodshim and it's shechted bachos, and it's also to eat, nevertheless, zeret hakasuv, that he's chayav karis. But still, you could argue kama mikto katle, for purposes of oisiv espinoi, we should say that the usual rules apply, according to Rav Shimon, shchita sheiner ruya lo shmo shchita. Therefore, the shchita of the first one is not considered a shchita, because it's not shchita ruya, exactly. So it's considered as though he just killed it, as though he killed it without shchita. Chaining the scalpel of Nimhu. And the second one, therefore, would be able to be brought in the Beis Mikdash, because again, the Chachamim would say that not, because the Chachamim would say once you shechted the first one, automatically the second one's disqualified for the rest of that day, because Oisiv Espinoi. Rav Shimon, who would hold that the first one is not considered a shchita, as far as Oisiv Espinoi, that he should say that the second one could have conceivably been brought into the Azara that same day and brought as a korban, therefore Karis Nami L'Chayim. So the second person should be Chayim Karis as well. The Chachamim would say not, because not something heroically scalpel of Nim, because not a korban that could have been brought today. But Rav Shimon would hold that it is. So that's one case of our mission that doesn't... Two different people. One for shechting the first one, one for shechting the second one. Rav Shimon should say the first one is chayav karis for shchut echot. The second one should also be chayav karis for shchut echot. The second one can't be brought to the korban. Of course it can be brought to the korban. The first one is considered, as far as oisiv espinoi, to have been shechted. It's considered as though it was killed. Next. Another example.
If it had been one person...
It sends, well, you can't get more courage more than once, right? I mean, whatever, the point is. Okay, another example where we see that our Mishnah doesn't go like Rav Shimon. When the Mishnah continues another case, Cholin B'Shneim Shneim Solin, we said that if both of them are Cholin and they're both shechted in the Azara, and they're both shechted in the Azara, Shneim Solin, they're both possible because they're Cholin that was shechted in the Azara. Ba'asheni Sofek is Aboim, but only the second one gets Malkus, because the first one was only over on the Eser of shechting Cholin in the Beit Mikdash.
That's not
a point to Rav Shimon. Again,
that's
the point.
If it was Rav Shimon, you would say no.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Mechti Shemin and Leder Rav Shimon, given that Rav Shimon holds that Shchita Shein Ruya is not Shchita, therefore, again, the first one is not considered a Shchita because also to eat afterwards, to call him Bazara, therefore, Kama Mikto Katle, so the first one, effectively, all he did was killed it. Shenia Mai Sokuk is Aboyin. So why for the second one would he be getting Malkus? I mean, mind you, actually, it says, Rashi points out, and in fact, the Ramban brings up the Rav Yisois that don't even mention the first one he killed, because in effect, according to Rav Shimon, he killed both of them without shchita, because neither one is mutter to eat. So the point is, why is he getting, so the way we have it in our Gemara in front of us is assuming that only the first one is considered to be killed, but the second one is a valid shchita, but that's the point. Neither one is really a valid shchita, so why is he getting malchus for oisiv espinoi, according to Rav Shimon? The answer is obviously it's not like Rav Shimon. And another example, We said another case in the Mishnah was where both of them are kodshim. They're both being shechted in the Azara. So the first one is kosher to potter, fine, because it was a proper shchita. And it was proper shchita. He didn't do anything wrong. It's kosher to carbon. And the person is potter. Obviously, it doesn't mean potter as in he did something wrong. Potter in this case means that just for parallelism, in other words, he didn't do anything wrong. Vasheni is perfect because our boim was possible, but we said the second one is going to be getting malchus, and it's going to be possible on the grounds of mechusar's man, because the korban at this point is possible to bring for the rest of that day, because of oisav estinoi. Again, that works only according to the chachamim, because mechti shamin and leiv Rav Shimon d'am shchita shein eruri lo shma shchita, we should have to consider, according to Rav Shimon, shchita kodshim nami shchita shein eruri. In general, Rav Shimon should say that when it comes to kodshim, it shouldn't be considered a shchita haro'oya yet. Because, Rashi over here explains like this. The second one is mechusar's man. And in fact, actually, Rashi says that really, actually, when you get down to it, the first one, when you shech the first one, you can't yet eat the meat of it. You have to first sprinkle the blood. Before that, you can't eat the meat. So according to Rav Shimon, basically, it should be considered that the shchita in and of itself. So fine, eventually, when you sprinkle the blood, then it turns out that it was a shchita ru'uya. But
retroactively.
But the Mishnah is telling us that as soon as you shech the first one, if then you shech the second one, then you chayav malchus for that because it was mechusar's man. What you should argue is the first shchita is not a shchita until the zrika is done. So two questions then Rashi explains. The Gemara is asking two things. Number one, you shouldn't be getting malchus for the second one on the grounds of Oisav Estinoi, because it's not Roy as a korban yet, it's mechusar's man. And for that you have, because mechusar's man, because once you shechted the first one, then the second one can't be brought as a korban that day. So therefore, you should say that. Because it's possible as a korban, and Rav Shimon holds shchita shena ru'uya is no good. It's not considered shchita. That shchita is not being master of this animal as a korban, as a possible korban for the rest of today. Therefore, you shouldn't be getting malchus for Oisav Estinoi. And not only that, Rashi adds, you shouldn't even be getting malchus on the grounds of b'chlal Oisav Estinoi. According to Rav Shimon, should not apply to kodshim, because unless you actually sprinkled the blood of the first one, the second, then its shchita was not yet master anything. So how can you say if you shechted the first one and then right away you go and shech the second one that you can be chayev for the second one? You might not end up sprinkling the blood at all, and then it'll turn out that the first one is not a shchita. If you did the zrika, fine, but that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah just said you shech the first one and then you shech the second one. So if you only shechted the first one, Rashi is explaining, the question is, why would you even ever get malchus for the second one until you do the zrika of the first one? It's not a shchita ru'uya. Now that's according to Rashi. You have...
Who says that without zrika, the shchita is not...
The fact is, without zrika, you can't eat the meat.
It's not, you cannot eat the meat, but that means it's not a
shchita. Shchita that is not master the animal to eat, lo shma shchita. So Rav Shimon should say that only if you did shchita of the first one and zrika, then at that point, if you shech the second one, then we can talk about whether you chayev malchus or not. Then we could argue on the one. Then we could argue. But again, since Rav Shimon would say if the second one is also kodshim and you're shechting it in the azara, then it's possible because oisav estinoi, it's possible mechusar's man, and therefore no malchus for that one either because it's not shchita ro'oya. So in other words, it wouldn't be Oseveth, if it's after Zrika, Oseveth Benoi, fine, it could conceivably be, but no, because it's not Shchita or Oya, because this second one cannot be Mutter, no, even after Zrika of the first one, because the second one, when you shecht it on that day, is called the law of carbon, because Mechot is mine. So that's according to Rashi, you have the Gemara is asking both questions. Tosfos discusses at some length over here the ins and outs of that. Other Rishonim also do, and they say not necessarily is the Gemara asking the second question about in general with Kodshim. You could argue as the Gemara is going to say later, actually Rav is going to point out that that later on, since later on you're going to do the zrika, then therefore it can be considered now, Rav Shimon might consider it shrita roya. But the question is still on the first one. That why the question is still on the Rashi's first question is still good no matter what. That why you're getting malchus, why you're getting malchus for the second one. The second one is definitely not a shrita roya because you, that korban is possible. Because that korban is possible for the rest of today. And according to him, shrita shena roya lo shma shrita. So why are you getting malchus for the second one? According to Rav Shimon, you wouldn't. That's the point. Therefore, shchita kodshim nami shchita shenir oyeh. The shchita of kodshim is also a shchita shenir oyeh. The kamigalei zorik dam lenishtiri boser, because until you sprinkle the blood, the meat can't be eaten anyway. Therefore, sheni amai sofer kazavoyim apostle. So why would the second one be getting malchus? If the second, if even the shchita of the first one might not be considered a shchita yet, and in any way, the shchita of the second one is definitely not because it's not mutter, because at this point it's mechutzes zman. So why is the second one getting malchus? Ela shmamin of the lekut of Shimon. Obviously, therefore, that's what Rav Oshia is finishing up. The conclusion, therefore, is obviously our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon. So the question in that case is pshita. Well, once you put it that way, isn't it obvious that the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon? Why does Rav Oshia even need to point it out? Isn't it obvious that that's how it is? Isn't it obvious that that's how it is? Once we consider that, then yeah, obviously the Mishnah can't work like Rav Shimon. The answer is no. Shchitas kodshim et tzrichalei. Okay, but the chiddush is that regarding the part involving shchitas kodshim, that's where Rav Oshia has to tell us that even that part doesn't work according to Rav Shimon. You would think otherwise to say shchitas kodshim shchita roya. Maybe Rav Shimon would consider the shchita of kodshim to be a shchita roya because, after all, the ha inocher v'zorik dam le'mishteri baser. Because, after all, we know it's not only the zrika that makes the korban mutter. You also have to do a proper shchita. If you did nechira, which is stabbing the animal or whatever, otherwise not killing it without shchita, and then sprinkle the blood loy mishteri baser, then the meat does not become mutter because you need a proper shchita. Only when you shecht and then also do the suita, only then does the meat become mutter. Therefore, shchita ro'oyehi. Therefore, maybe Rav Shimon would consider that a shchita ro'oyeh. That is why, because the fact is, the shchita is an essential prerequisite to making the korban mutter. Because you need it, yeah. In order for the zrika to be master, it has to have been preceded by shchita. So maybe Rav Shimon therefore could consider the shchita of korbanos to be a shchita roya, kamash malan, and that is why Rav Oshia wants to inform us that not that Rav Shimon would still call it shchita shena roya, and therefore that part of the Mishnah that involves kodshim also can't work according to Rav Shimon, because according to Rav Shimon, for it to be a shchita ro'oya, it has to be that and only that is master, nothing else, and in this case, you don't, because you need the zrika as well.
That
and only that, shchita and nothing else. Over here, you need two factors, shchita and zrika.